Well, Laurel Swerlow, welcome to KABU.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, your advocacy work in Oregon is on behalf of Planned Parenthood clinics and services, but also more broadly focuses on access to reproductive health services, and including how to strategize around the recent Trump administration's push for a new policy that would essentially be a national version of the federal government's global gag rule. And I think sometimes people don't realize that Planned Parenthood International is separate from the Planned Parenthood Federation of America. And just by way of background, the International Planned Parenthood Federation estimated that the $100 million in funding they lost because of the international gag rule likely could have prevented 20,000 maternal deaths in 29 countries. And so the gag rule, which is an interesting term in terms of something you really want to choke on and expel, this rule has prohibited clinics receiving family planning funds from even referring or discussing abortion as an option. So, Laurel, what's the situation here, and what does this mean, the domestic gag rule that apparently the Trump administration has put forth a new policy on?
You're right, Jan, that this rule is different from the so-called global gag rule. This particular gag rule, this domestic gag rule, would do primarily three things. It would impose new rules that are designed to make it impossible for patients to get birth control or preventive care from reproductive health care providers like Planned Parenthood. Second, under this rule, doctors, nurses, hospitals, and community health centers throughout the country could no longer refer their patients for safe, legal abortion. And third, it removes the guarantee that you're getting full and accurate information about your healthcare from your doctors. For nearly two decades, Title X law has been very clear. Healthcare providers cannot withhold information from you about your pregnancy options. This rule would mean that they could.
And I think it's important for people to realize, whatever their stance is on abortion or reproductive health services, that this is in direct conflict with the ethical guidelines of the College of Obstetrical and Gynecological Medicine, and that healthcare providers are ethically required to provide this information. So what basically administration is requiring providers to do is not ethical.
That's right. I mean, we can all agree that patients should have access to the best medical care and information possible. And this rule would do the opposite. We've seen what happens globally, as you mentioned, when Trump and Pence imposed a global gag rule on their first day in office. Services are being cut, health centers are forced to close, and women are going without care. It's estimated, as you referenced, that the countries that will lose key health care providers will see an increase in both maternal mortality and unsafe abortions. That's what we're facing globally, and it's absolutely unconscionable that they're now intending to implement this domestically.
Now, in Oregon, there is the least restrictive by some measures state. There are no laws restricting abortion, like mandatory reporting or gestational age limit. Although the Catholic health system in the state can refuse those services, but there's no state law that restricts them. Oregon also has passed the 3391, the Reproductive Health Equity Act, that expands services. How does this federal policy meet the rubber of the road meets Oregon law?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Oregon, as you said, is the only state in the country that has no restrictions on access to abortion. But we all know that just because there are no restrictions, that doesn't mean that there is meaningful access. What this federal rule would do is it could prohibit federal funds from funding the necessary reproductive health services that women rely on here in Oregon. To be perfectly clear, this if implemented, this domestic gag rule would, as I said, take away basic rights and health, period, by prohibiting those federal dollars from funding the services that women and families need in Oregon.
And so one effect is that states that have made a commitment to this care for women, which is so much a social class issue, because women of means can afford to access these services, but Title X funds like the Hyde Amendment really affect low-income women predominantly. And so in Oregon, there has been a commitment to providing access through state funds. So this puts an enormous burden on the state, is that correct, to bridge that gap if federal funds are withdrawn?
There's definitely an interplay between state and federal funds going on here. And I think that, you know, we will definitely be, when funds are withdrawn, we are then faced with bridging that gap, as you said.
With fundraising or with state funds.
That's right. I mean, we both at, you know, Planned Parenthood and reproductive health advocates throughout the state are dedicated to ensuring that all Oregonians, regardless of income, citizenship status, type of insurance, are able to access the health care they need. And so by withholding federal funds, we absolutely will be faced with the burden of determining how access to health care can be funded for those women that would be impacted.
Seems like there's also a need for a massive protest within the healthcare field saying, we're not going to be gagged. We are going to continue to do our job. It's ethically required of us. And we join as partners with the services like Planned Parenthood that takes the heavy hit here, that we stand in solidarity and we're not going to be gagged.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that, Jan. I think that, you know, one thing that is clear to me, and I think to a lot of folks through, and I know for folks throughout the country, is that everyone has the right to access information about their healthcare, including information about safe legal abortion.
And that's not only a feminist principle.
Absolutely.
Or an abortion rights principle. It's encoded in the professional standards of the specialties of medicine involved in this care.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think the point that you made about how this disproportionately impacts lower income women is really important to highlight here, because when we're talking about those ethical standards, everyone has a right to access that information. And that information, no matter how much money she makes, no matter, you know, the insurance that she has, no matter where she lives, everyone has a right to access information and medical care no matter what. And this, they won't get that under this rule.
Now, can you just explain a bit about Title X, just for people who aren't familiar with Title X funds?
Yeah, absolutely. So Title X is a federal grant program that enables and ensures access to family planning and reproductive health care. This is a federal grant program, as I said, and there are grantees throughout the country that receive this funding. And the state of Oregon is itself a grantee.
Mm-hmm. And the way the anti-abortion forces that are quite fixated on this aspect of reproductive health care, although there's been a revival of anti-birth control and anti-sex education in this conservative wave overtaking the political class, but in the past, Title X funding has required places like Planned Parenthood to separate their contraceptive other services from their abortion, the services related to abortion procedures. And this not only underscores that separation, but basically kind of pushes it out the door.
That's right. It takes it to a different level. For example, under this rule, if a woman is pregnant and wants or needs an abortion, her provider will be prohibited from telling her where she can go to get one. Or if a woman's pregnancy would severely affect her health, for example, she discovers that she's pregnant after being diagnosed with cancer, her healthcare provider could refuse to tell her that abortion is even an option. So just stop and think about that for a second. What this would do is it would prohibit any provider from giving that information to their patients.
And of course, ethical providers will not comply with that. But
that's
then
right.
the consequences are what for massive refusal to comply with something that's unethical and immoral? What happens is that then a clinic could be, a health center could be cited and investigated, and then funds would be...
Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right that this flies in the face of the ethical standards that healthcare providers generally are held to.
By their profession and by their license.
That's right. I mean, this rule is opposed by the medical community, by lawmakers, by public health experts, major medical associations like the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, the American College of Physicians, and more. They all oppose this rule. When a similar rule was actually proposed in the 80s, it was met with the same tremendous outcry that we're seeing today. And so you're absolutely right that it really places providers in a position of having to choose between basically providing care in accordance with their ethics and their guidelines and being able to be in compliance with, frankly, an unconscionable rule.
Which is a kind of a moral dilemma of our times on many fronts. And I think it's perhaps one consequence is just throwing this work into a state of unnecessary chaos.
That's right. I mean, we're at a 30-year low for unintended pregnancy and a historic low for pregnancy among teenagers. I mean, with this rule, we are going to be walking back that progress if this rule is implemented.
Because it does make it more difficult.
It will hurt. It will hurt
access.
Women and families. That's right. I mean, Planned Parenthood health centers serve 41% of patients who get care through Title X. And as you said, I mean, this isn't just Planned Parenthood, other healthcare providers as well who have been, you know, working to improve reproductive healthcare throughout the country. Title X serves a racially and ethnically diverse patient base. At least one-third of patients are people of color. More than one-third are Latinx. 13% have limited proficiency in English. So this rule, furthermore, would not only roll back that progress across the board, but it would disproportionately impact underserved communities.
You know, the Trump administration routinely dispenses horrific policy pronouncements that create a sense of kind of perpetual crisis. And some of these are bluster and intended to satisfy his base supporters. But some of them are, there really is power to exercise there,
yeah.
And sometimes not. Just in closing, Where do you see the fight back beyond the professions, which, and I think this has been in some ways not very strong overall, not just abortion providers, but the professions standing up to support women's reproductive health care. Where do you see the fight against these immoral policies?
Absolutely. I mean, Planned Parenthood stands in coalition with reproductive health care providers throughout the country. And, you know, together we will not stop fighting for our patients. We will not stand by while our basic health and rights are stripped away. And so I think, you know, what you can see from us is we are going to be fighting back. We are fighting back against this rule to delay and prevent implementation because we know that the consequences are absolutely dire. And we will continue to be fighting back against these types of rules, and we will continue to be providing care no matter what.
Yeah. It's the era for advocacy on the streets.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Okay. Well, thanks so much. This is Jan Hawken talking today with Laurel Swerdlow, the interim executive director of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Oregon.
Thank you so much.
Keep
for
up the good
me.
Work.
Thank you. You don't own me. Don't try to change me in any way. You don't own me. Don't tie me down, 'cause I'd never stay.